here is Masechet Sukkah Daf Nun Dalad, and we will begin on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis at the Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, in Paischem Ech Srim Ve'achas Tekiyas V'Migdash, in the Beis HaMigdash, when they brought the Kabbanis, there was a minimum every day of 21 blasts of the Shofar, V'Misifin Al-Borim V'Shemayna, and the maximum is 48. B'chol Yoyim, every day, Hayu Sham Esen Ve'achas Tekiyas V'Migdash. There were a minimum of 21. How? Shalosh l'psichas sharim. Three when the gates of the Beis Hamikdash were open in the morning. Teish l'tumet shel shachar. Nine when the tumet shel shachar was brought. V'teish l'tumet shel ben habayim. And nine for the tumet shel ben habayim. Three plus nine equal 21. B'mesafim, whenever a carbon musaf was brought, ha'imesifin oiteisha, they would have nine more. Oberv Shabbos. Every Erev Shabbos, ha'imesifin sheish, there would be six tekiyas. Shalosh l'haftal sa'am malacha, three, as the Gemara Masechta Shabbos describes, were to have the people stop work. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos says that the first one was when they blew the people that worked outside of the city stopped working. The second one, the stores in the city closed. The third one, they finished completing preparation of the food for Shabbos. According to Rabbi, they took off the tefillin. That was by the third tekiyah. V'shalosh l'hadam in Kodesh L'chol. Then they blew tekiyah through tekiyah, and it was Shabbos. Erev Shabbos v'toych chag. What is the day that the Mishnah began, that the maximum we have on any given day is 48? What day was the day that you had 48? It was Erev Shabbos during Sukkos. Hayisham Abam Bishmaida. There were 48 tekiyas and truas. How? Shalosh l'psicha sharim. Three as we had every day when the sharim are open. Now we have 12 more that are done specifically on Sukkos because of Nisuch Hamayim. Shalosh l'shar elyon. Three when they got to the shar elyon. Shalosh l'shar tachton. Three when they got to the shar tachton. Shalosh l'milo mayim when they actually filled up the water. V'shalosh l'gavim zbeyach is 12. Teisha, which we have every day, L'tom Chol Shachar. Teisha that we have every day for Ben Abayim. Teisha that we have every time a Musaf is brought, and this was Yontif, so they brought a carbon Musaf. Given that it was Erev Shabbos, so we have Shalosh L'Haftal Sa'am M'Melacha, Shalosh L'Havdam in Kaddish L'Chayim. 2 points that the Mefarshim point out. One is there's a Machloikis Rishonim, if not just on Erev Shabbos that they have these Tekiyas, to have the people realize that it's Shabbos, or did they have it also on Erev Yontif? On one hand, just like by Shabbos, we have the Tekiyas, so too we should have by Yontif. On the other hand, on Shabbos, we have to do Adlokas Neiris before Shabbos, because you can't light a candle on Shabbos. On Yontif, we could light a candle on Yontif, so there's no reason to have necessarily the Tekiyas. The Mefarshim also point out, we discussed this Shiloh once, that there may be a proof from our Mishnah that you put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed. How? We said that Rebbe in Masechet Shabbos holds that the third tekiyah was to take off the tefillin. Now the Mishnah is saying that Erev Shabbos during Sukkos, they had that tekiyah. Now if the point of the tekiyah is to take off the tefillin, if you don't wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed, why do you have to take them off? So maybe a proof that you wear tefillin on Chol HaMoed. Says the Gemara, Masnisin Deloy K'Rebbe. Our Mishnah is not the way Rebbe Yehuda explains the tekiyas. The Tanya, Rebbe Yehuda, I'm a poichs lo yifchis misheva, v'maisiv lo yosef v'sheish esrei. He says the minimum is 7 and 16, and our Mishnah said 21 and 48. So as all the Mefarshim explain, at least at this point, there's no real machloikis between Rebbe Yehuda and the Rabbonim. Because how do the tekiyas work? It goes with a set of tekiyah through a tekiyah. The Rabbanan view each one as a separate blast, as a separate tekiyah. So that's how we have 21 or 48. Rebbe looks at every set as one. So if we divide 21 by 3, it's 7. If we divide 48 by 3, we have 16. So they're actually just saying the same, it's just how do you look at it? Do you look at each tekiyah or teruah separately, or do you look at them as a set? Says the Gemara, what is the basis of this machlokes? Maikovsky, Yudis of Tkiya Truth Kiya Achasi, it's considered one set, and should be counted as one. Rabbanan Tzavi, Tkiya L'chod, Tru L'chod, each Tkiya Tru should be counted separately. My Tam de Yehuda, why does Yehuda hold that way? Amakrav, Tkatem Tru. The Torah speaks about Tkiya and Tru together. Is it a Tkiya or is it a Tru? It must be that the Torah is teaching us they should be considered together. Rabbanan, how will the Rabbanan explain that Pasuk? That pasuk just come to teach us, as we know that halacha is, that whenever we blow a trua, you have to have tekiya precede it and come after it. Rabbanan, the rabbanan that count each one separately, my tamay, why do they say that? The ksiv, because the pasuk says, our mishnah focused on the tekiyas and truas that were blown when, in the Beis HaMikdash, when they brought the kabanas, as the Sefer HaChinuch says. They used to blow in order to be able to concentrate better when they brought the kabbonis. The Sefer HaChinuch says that when one brings kabbonis, we want better concentration, and nice music, the key is through it, help the Kohen have concentration. It's interesting. You look at the Rambam says that on every Shabbos and Yontif, they blew these tekiyas and truas. But if you learn our Mishnah doesn't speak about Shabbos Yontif. It says every day. So Minchas Chinuch discusses it, and he says that could be that on a regular weekday it was the Levim that blew, and Shabbos Yontif was Kahanim, or could be that the Rambam holds that on a regular weekday the Chiv to blow these Tekiyas Truas were only Midrabanan, on Shabbos Yontif it was a Chiv Midraisa. But the Pasuk also speaks about another time that they used to blow. It says, V'hakla Sakol Tisku V'loi Sariyu. When they blew the chatzaitris, in order, that was the way they sent out a message that everybody should gather together, they only did tekiya and not trua. Says the Gemara, v'isak da'atach, tekiya trua achasi, if you're going to say that tekiya and trua are indeed one, amrachmona, palga the mitzvah ovid, or palga mitzvah lo'ovid, does the Torah tell us to do half a mitzvah and not the other half? If tekiya and trua, if Rabbi Yehuda is correct, that they always travel together, so how could you separate them? So it must be that each one is counted separately. Rabbi Yehuda, so how does Rabbi Yehuda answer what the Rabbanan say? That he considers the Tekiya and Teruah together. He says, Ahul is simona ba'alma da'asa. That key is not really a mitzvah. It's just a way of getting people together. And therefore we don't have the regular and standard halachas of Tekiya and Teruah relevant. Rabbanan, Simanahu. The Rabbanan say, yes, the purpose is that it should be a way of gathering the people. But once the Torah told us that that's the way to gather people, Rachmana, Shavya Mitzvah. The Shavya, the Torah says it's a mitzvah, and it should be treated as all mitzvahs. So, I saw for Rav David Soloveitchik, the Brisk Rosh Yeshiva, he says, even Rabbi Yehuda that says that it's a simon, it's not just a simon that that's the way they gather the people. And if they'll decide they want to gather the people another way, it'll be acceptable. There's halachas how to gather people. But it doesn't have the full-fledged category of a mitzvah. It's considered simon ba'alma. Says the Gemara, Kaman haz lahod am Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana made the following statement. Ein bein tekiya l'trua lo klum. When one blows tekiya or the trua, he shouldn't have any interruption between them. According to whom the Rav Kahana make the statement, says the Gemara, command Rabbi Yehuda. Seemingly, it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda is the one that says, Tekiya, Trua, Tekiya is one mitzvah. So since it's one mitzvah, it should not be separated. Says the Gemara, Pshita. Obviously, it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbanon, it's not one mitzvah. So it's not one mitzvah. Why should I have to keep them together? Says the Gemara, Pshita. Answers my Madatema Philip Rabbanon. I would think that's even going according to Rabbanon. How could Rabbanon say it has to be done in one shot? Because it's going Lafukim Rabbi Yochanan. Because Rabbi Yochanan says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah, Doma, Shama Tesh Tekiyas B'Tesh Shos B'Yoyim. We know Midaraisa, the minimum amount of Tekiyas you have to hear a day, are 9 Tekiyas. So Rabbi Yochanan teaches us a din that in the 9 hours of Rosh Hashanah, and the Farshim say that when the Gemara uses 9 hours, it's very specific. Because during the time when Rosh Hashanah comes out, it's a time of the year where the day and night are equal. 12-hour day, 12-hour night. Not like in the summer when we have long days, not like in the winter when we have short days. But in a 12-hour day, you're only allowed to blow shofar from the netz to the shkia. From the netz to shkia, you have 9 hours. From alois shachar to tseis, you have 12 hours. But if we take away the time from the alois to netz, and the time from shkia to tseis, you'll have 9 hours. So Rabbi Yochanan says, if you blow those 9 tekiyas, 1 tekiya per hour, you yoytza. Rabbi Avuah and Masechet Rosh Hashanah disagrees. He says you can't have that kind of interruption. So we would think that what's Rav Kahana teaching us? That the Rabbanon do not agree with Rabbi Yochanan. And the Rabbanon don't agree and don't accept that you could blow those 9 tekiyas in 9 hours of the day. Kamashmon, that Rav Kahana teaches us that. Kamashmon, the Rav Kahana is not referring to the Rabbanon. Kamashmon, the Rav Kahana is referring to Rabbi Yehuda. And he's saying that according to Rabbi Yehuda, given that Tekiyah Teruah is one mitzvah, there's not allowed to be any interruption. Says the Rav Eichanami, who tells you to explain? The Rav Kahana is explaining Rabbi Yehuda's Shita when he says there's not allowed to be interruption. Maybe he's explaining the Rabbanon Shita that they don't agree with Rabbi Yochanan. Says the Gemara, Imkei Mai V'Loi Klum. Yes, the Rabbanon may not agree with Rabbi Yochanan. And they may not allow you to blow those 9 tekiyas and truas in 9 hours of the day. But why would they want to be so strict and say you can't have any interruption? So the fact that Rav Kahana says, V'loi klum, you can't have any interruption, it seems to indicate that he's referring to Rabbi Yehuda that holds tekiyah truah, tekiyah is one mitzvah, and you can't interrupt at all. So when we learn this Gemara, we assume that this has nothing to do with us. The truth is, it's a very relevant Gemara, la'alocha l'maisa. Because we know that in Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah discusses this at length, we have a question. What is the truah? Is it what we call the truah? Is it what we call the shvarim? So what do? We blow truah, we blow shvarim, and we blow shvarim truah, because perhaps it's a combination. By shvarim truah, everybody will agree you can't interrupt. So whatever will be the halacha regarding, as far as the Yehuda is, for tekiyah truah tekiyah, that will be the halacha for us, for shvarim truah. So there's a machlokes rishonim. What does Rav Kahana mean when he says v'loi klum? Some rishonim say that he means that you can't even take a neshima, you can't even take a breath between the tekiyah and the truah, according to us, between the shvarim and the truah. Or some rishonim say you could take a neshima, a breath you could take, but no more. So the Shulchan Aruch, very interestingly, says, since we don't know what to do, the Shulchan Aruch says, but the tekiyas, the miyoshev, the tekiyas before Shemoneh Esrei, we should take a breath. But the tekiyas, the ma'amid, we should do it without taking a breath. The Ramah says we should always do it with taking a breath in between. And it's interesting, the Chaya Adam says that even though normally we Ashkenazic Jews follow the Ramah, here we should do like the Shulchan Aruch. Because we really don't know what to do, so we do it once like this and once like that. Certainly the Matta Frayim says the Baal Makri, who's telling the Baal Tekei what to do, should certainly say Shvarim Truah together. Otherwise there'll be too much of interruption. The Prima Gadim, interestingly, says, what you can't do according to Yehuda, let's use this example. According to Yehuda, Tekiyah Truah Tekiyah is one set. So he says, let's say you're going to take a breath between the tekiyah and the truah, and then you don't take a breath between the truah and tekiyah, then it's self-contradictory. Either you take a breath both times, or don't take a breath, but you can't do one time a breath and one time not a breath, because that's self-contradictory. It's also interesting, there's a machloikas apaiskim, according to the Manda Omer, that you're not supposed to take a breath. What does that mean? Does that mean that you're not supposed to take any interruption? That's the way the Mishnah Berurah paskins, quoting the Trumas Hadashin. No, I'm sorry. The Mishnah Berurah quoting Trumas Hadashin says you're not supposed to take a breath, but a half a breath, a small interruption, is permissible and should be done. The Chazon Ish and the Avnei Nezer say, according to the Rishonim, that say you don't take any breath in between, and that's what we do sometimes, there should be no interruption at all. It should go one right flow into the other. Says the Gemara, Erev Shabbos B'Toich HaChag, the Mishnah said that we blew whenever it was Nesach Mayim by the Mizbeach. Ask the Gemara, V'ilu l'mala siris l'ktani. When we learned the Mishnah on Daf Nun Aleph, the Mishnah said that on the 10th step, they used to blow. And our Mishnah, that's not discussed. Says the Gemara, Masnisim Nani, who's the Tan of our Mishnah? Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. He's going according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Tanya Sholosh Lamala Siris. The Mishnah before the Tarakam holds the three Tekiyas were blown by the Mala Siris. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, I'm a Sholosh Agav Mizbeach. There were three by the Mizbeach, not by the Mala Siris. Says the Gemara. Ha'oim Lamala Siris. The man, the Omen, it says that there were Tekiyas by the Mala Siris. Ain't Oim Al Gabim Mizbeach will not agree that there were any Tekiyas by the Mizbeach. For Oim Al Gabim Mizbeach, and the Mandom that says there were Tekiyas by the Mizbeach, Ain't Oim Al Mal Masara, he will not agree that there were Tekiyas by the Mal Asiris. My Talmud, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that holds there were no Tekiyas by the Mal Asiris, says the Gemara, Kivan, says Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, since the Tokel Psis Chashorim, since they blew by the Tekiyas Shorim, Psich Shorim, Lamala Asiris, Lama Lida Taka. There's no point to blow by the Mala Siris. Hailaf Sharu. It's Bechal Nana Shar. Hilkach. Agav Meha Mizbeach. Odif. It's preferable they should blow by the Mizbeach and not by the Mala Siris. And the Rishonim explain that when they blew by the Mizbeach, that was when they put the Aravos. We learned earlier in the Masechta that they used to put the Aravos on the Mizbeach. That was all done at the same time. They blew by the Mala Siris when they put the Aravos there. Rabbanan Sover. Rabbanan, however, hold, kiv the tak lamala mayim, since all these tekiyas are in honor of the nisach hamayim, agaba hamizbeach lamali. This has nothing to do with the mizbeach, therefore they hold hilkach lamala asiras odif. It's preferable to blow by the mala asiras. Says the Gemara, kiosk Rav Acha bar Chanina midrayma, Rav Acha bar Chanina arrived from the south, aisim asnisa biyodei. He brought a braisa. It says in the braisa, the pasuk says, "Obnei Aharon haKohanim yisku b'chatzoytris." Says the Gemara, "Ain tamalam yisku." There's no reason for the pasuk to include the word "they should blow." Shekvan emar. There's another pasuk that says, "Utekatem b'chatzoytris al oleisechem val zivchei shalmeichem." So we know that the chatzoytris. The what do you do with the chatzoytris you blew? Why does the pasuk say Obnei Aharon haKohanim yisku b'chatzoytris? It should be adequate that the pasuk should say Obnei haKohanim b'chatzoytris. Teaches us of Acha that what does the pasuk teach us? Hakol lefi hamesofim taikim. Says the Gemara, who tanalava, who amala? He was the one that taught us the brisa, and he explains the brisa. Loimer, what is this pasuk teaching us? Shetoykin are called musaf and musaf. Every time a musaf is brought, you have to blow 9 tekiyas. So if you have a day, and we're going to discuss that at length now, mitzvah Hashem, if you have a day that you had more than one musaf, every musaf requires 9 tekiyas. Ask the Gemara, Tanan, Erev Shabbos, Shabbatach Chag, on Erev Shabbos, during Yontif, Hayisham Memches. When the Mishnah wanted to give us an example, the day that there was the most tekiyas, the Mishnah chose Erev Shabbos during Sukkot. Ask the Gemara, Vim Isa. If what Rav Acha is teaching us is correct, that for every Musaf there are separate tekiyas, listening Shabbos to Chay Chag, Mishkach Lo Chamishim Chag, we could have had a day with 51. What would that be? Shabbos during Sukkot. Because let's think about it. On Erev Shabbos during Sukkot, we had 48. Shabbos during Yontif, we have to reduce it by 6, because the 6 tekiyas that they blew for Erev Shabbos doesn't apply on Shabbos. So we're down to 42. But on Shabbos during Yontif, we had 2 Karban Musafim. One for Shabbos and one for Sukkot. So we have another 9. 42 plus 9 equals 51. So when the Mishnah wants to mention the day with the maximum amount of tekiyas, it shouldn't be Erev Shabbos Shabbataycha Chag with 51. It should be Shabbos with 48. It should be Shabbos Shabbataycha Chag with 48. With 51. Sorry, again. It shouldn't be Erev Shabbos Shabbataycha Chag with 48. It should be Shabbos Shabbataycha Chag with 51. Says the Gemara, no. On Shabbos Shabbataycha Chag, there wouldn't be 51. There wouldn't be 51. Why? Amrav Zera, Lefish Ein Toikin Lefshich Sharm B'Shabbos. Every day we explain in the Mishnah that the first tekiyas were when they opened up the gates. And the way that we should explain this is as follows. Opening up the gates is not really part of the process of bringing a carbon. So there's really not that required. So every day, which is not Shabbos, we blow. But today is Shabbos. We want to minimize blowing tekiyas and Shabbos. So since this is not such a required tekiyah, we don't blow it on Shabbos. So Shabbos, Shabbat Chag, we take off those three. 51 minus 3 equal 48. Says the Gemara, Amma, Rava, Manu Deloy Chash L'Kimcha. This is an expression the Gemara uses when it wants to say that somebody's saying something and doesn't really make sense. It's like, the explanation is, who's not careful what he eats? Who's not careful what he says? Chodah, the B'chal Yoyim Tanan. Number one, our Mishnah said that they blew the first three tekiyas every day when they opened the gate. It doesn't say that Shabbos, it's not done. That's one kasha. Void. Furthermore, even if you'll say that on Shabbos Shabbat Chag we don't blow for Psicha Shorim, so we only have 48. In Namika Dodininu, even if they're both 48, listen to Shabbos Shabbat Chag, Hayisham Abraham Shmoino. Why does the Mishnah choose to use as the example that you have the maximum Erev Shabbos Shabbat Chag? The Mishnah should have used as the example of the maximum Shabbos Shabbat Chag. Why is that a better example? Because the Shamim not Tanti. I learned two halachas. One halacha I learned, Shamim not the Rebbeleza ben Yaakov. I learned that, like Rebbeleza ben Yaakov taught us, that where did you blow? They blew by the Mizbeach and not by the tenth step. And we'll also learn, by the way, that you blow for every Musaf separately. So we want to use the example. Why do we use this example, not that example? Says Rashi. Maybe the Mishnah used the example of Erev Shabbos Shabbatai Chag to teach us that in every Erev Shabbos you blow the six tekiyas. So says Rashi, that we already learned previously in the Mishnah. So I don't need this example to teach me that then. Ask the Rishash. Perhaps it's coming to teach us that we don't blow every Shabbos, those three extra tekiyas. So it says that we also understand automatically by the Mishnah not using that example. So why does the Mishnah automatically use the example of Erev Shabbos Shabbat Chag as the day with the maximum versus Shabbos Shabbat Chag? Ela Merava, says Rava, you know why? As we learned earlier, on Shabbos they didn't collect the water. The water that they used for Nisach HaMayim and Shabbos, they prepared from Erev Shabbos. Since they didn't collect the water from on Shabbos, all those tekiyas, which were equal 12, weren't done on Shabbos. So now we have 48 minus 12, which is 36, the Batri Tuva. So it's no longer an example of a day with the maximum amount of tekiyas. Ask the Gemara, but I have a different example of a day with the maximum amount. V'listni nami, Rosh Hashanah, Shechah Aliyas B'Shabbos. Rosh Hashanah that comes out on Shabbos. Dika Tlosa Masafim. Then on that day you have three Masafim. You have a Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, you have a Musaf of Rosh Chodesh, and you have a Musaf of Shabbos. So what would you have? You have 21 of every day, plus three Masafim. Every Musaf brings 9 tekiyas, which is 27, 9 times 3. 27 plus 21 equals 48. So the Gemara is asking, why did the Mishnah choose Erev Shabbos Shabbat Chag as the example of the day with the most? It should have been talked about Shabbos Shabbat Chag and Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. Answers the Gemara, the Mishnah had to teach us Erev Shabbos Shabbat Chag. It's Ruchalei, Lashminik Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, to teach us Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov's din that we discussed earlier, that they blew by the Mizbeach, not on the 10th step. As says Rava, Atimi Kamer, Listni Ha, V'loi Listni Ha, that I mean that the Mishnah should omit Erev Shabbos Shabbat Chag and mention Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. That's not what I meant to say. What I meant to say was, Listni Ha, V'listni Ha. We should mention both examples. Erev Shabbos Shabbat Chag is a day where we have 48, and Shabbos Rosh Hashanah is a day we have 48. Why did the Mishnah only mention one of the two examples? Answers the Gemara, Tan of a Shire. The Mishnah didn't list all the examples. Ask the Gemara, my Shire, the high Shire. And the explanation of this is as follows. We have a rule throughout Shas that whenever the Mishnah doesn't mention everything, the Mishnah doesn't only leave out one. The Mishnah, if it's going to leave something out, it's going to leave out at least two. So here, we only have one example that are left out. Shabbos Rosh Hashanah. So if that's not an acceptable situation, so it must be that you have to find another example that the Mishnah left out, or you have a kasha. Why is there such a rule that the Mishnah never omits only one exception. So I saw the Steichemet speaks about this, and he says, if a Mishnah only leaves out one exception, you could come to make a mistake that it didn't leave it out because it's leaving something out. It had left it out because it doesn't agree with that din. So if it leaves out a number of cases, you could say the Mishnah didn't mention all the cases. But if it leaves out only one example, one could come to the wrong conclusion that this is not the halacha. So the Mishnah never leaves out only one. But he then continues and says that the Mefarshim say that when is this rule applicable, that the Mishnah never only leaves out more than one, that's when the Mishnah starts with a number. When the Mishnah says, I'm going to list five cases, and then there are, doesn't list all five, and then we find there's a sixth case, so then there's a rule, it can only be a sixth case. There has to be a seventh case too. But our Mishnah doesn't say a number. So there's no, all the rules of Tana V'Shayer shouldn't apply to our Mishnah. So he answers, when is that rule relevant? He says, when the Mishnah is mentioning a number, five cases, and then we find an exception, we have to find at least two exceptions. Our Mishnah didn't give a number because our Mishnah only gave one example. So it's implicit that it's as if it says the number one. And if the number one is incorrect, because there's an exception, we have to have at least two exceptions. Says the Gemara, I'll give you another exception. Shai Erev Pesach. It's referring to Erev Pesach. Why? Because in Erev Pesach, we know, we learned the Mishnah together, Masechta Pesachim, that they used to shech the Karban Pesach. We learned that when they shech the Karban Pesach, they brought three different groups into the Azorah. That is a very fundamental machloikis, Rashi and Tosfos, how to understand this. They come to the same number, they just get there differently. According to Rashi, each one of these groups was divided into three groups. And at the beginning of every recitation of Hallel, we have three tekiyas. So we have a total of 27. How do we have a total of 27? Each group is 9, because each group is divided further into three. So it's 9, and 9 times 3 equals 27. Every day we said, we start with 21. For every day is a minimum 21. 27 plus 21 equal 48. So that's how we have another day of 48. That is the other exception to the Mishnah. According to Tosfos, we get to that number differently. According to Tosfos, there were three groups coming into the Azorah. Those groups were not further divided into further groups. But each group blew the shofar three different times during the recitation of Hallel. They blew it at the beginning, they blew it by a hafti, and they blew it by Haidul Hashem. So again, you get to the same conclusion. 9 times each group, three groups is 27. Now Tosfos asks another kasha on Rashi. Tosfos asks that Rashi seems to say here that who said the Hallel? The people bringing the Karban Pesach. Quotes Tosfos at Tosefta that says it was the Levim that said the Hallel. And the Brisk Rav asks even further on Rashi, that here Rashi says it was Klal Yisrael saying the Hallel. And in Masechta Erchin, Rashi says that it was the Levim saying the Hallel by the Karban Pesach. So we have a contradiction in Rashi. So there's a very famous Brisk Rav. He answers as follows. He says, there are two dinim in Hallel. There's a din called Hallel, Kriyas Hallel. Kriyas Hallel requires the blowing of a shofar, and who blows that shofar? The Levim, like always when the shofar is blown. But on Pesach, when the Hallel is said, there's another aspect to it. The other aspect is that it's a shira. It's a song that we sing to Hashem, that He took us out, Mishibit Legula. That is the Hallel that Klal Yisrael say. So the Brisk Rav says that both Rashis are correct. The Rashi here is referring to Klal Yisrael saying Hallel. The Rashi in Masechta Erchin is referring to the Levim saying Hallel. And this Brisk Rav is used a lot. You know, on Pesach by night, the Minig by Nusach Sfard is they say Hallel twice. We say Hallel in Shul, and we also say Hallel by the Seder. What's the concept? It represents these two recitations, recital of the Hallel. One is like the Levium, which is a din on the Hallel, and we say the whole Hallel in Shul. And one is the Shira that we sing by the Seder, and that is a separate Hallel, and that's why we say Hallel twice. Ask the Gemara, Imi Shemera Pesach, if that's the example that you want to say this 48, Laf Shirahu. Domani Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Meimeim Shokesh Shlichus, Loigi Eloim Ahav Tekiyish Me'Hashem, Neshaya Amam Mu'atim. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they never, the third group, and again, no matter how you explain it, according to Rashi or Tosfos, never said Hallel more than once. So if they never said Hallel more than once, so the third group will only have three tekiyahs. So you'll have only 21. You'll have 9 for the first group, 9 for the second group is 18, and 3 for the third group is 21. 21 plus 21 is 42. So it's not a day of 48, says the Gemara. We just started our Shia today, the Gemara, that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, tekiyah, true tekiyah, we said, is one set. And we said our Mishnah that considers tekiyah, true tekiyah, as separate, is going according to Rabbanim. So ask the Gemara, what are you asking Kashis for Rabbi Yehuda? Hakimna, we already established the like Rabbi Yehuda, that our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Says the Gemara, V'dilma, haitana sovla kavasei b'chada, upala le'b'chada. He agrees with Rabbi Yehuda regarding that the third group did not say, never said it more than once, the way Rashi explains. But he doesn't agree with Rabbi Yehuda in saying that they're all one mitzvah. Ask Tosfos, I don't understand. We have a perfect example of another exception. Yes, it doesn't coincide with Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. Explaining our Mishnah like Rabbi Yehuda, we just proved, is not really something that we want to do anyway. So why are we going out of our way to make a kasha? Make it simple and say our Mishnah is going according to Rabbanon. The third group said 3 times Hallel. We have another example of 48. We have 2 exceptions to the rule and everything is perfect. Why make complication? So Tosfos doesn't really answer the kasha. The Sfas Emes has a beautiful explanation and it goes with what we said before. We said before that the Tana, the Tana avoids saying exceptions because a person can make a mistake and think that the Tana didn't list an exception because he doesn't agree with it. So it's to say Tana V'Shayer is something that we reluctantly do. If this Tana V'Shayer, if the exception that we're finding is something that's not an exception easily understood, it can't be an exception. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not an easy exception. So we're back to our question, where do we have a second exception? It says, Gemara, my Shayer, the High Shayer. Shire Ere Pesach Shchali is Be'er Shabbos, Apik Shis V'Ayel Shis. When Ere Pesach is on Shabbos, so yes, Rabbi Yehuda is correct. We lose 6 tekiyahs because Hallel in the third group was only said once. But we gain 6 because it's Ere Pesach that is on Erev Shabbos. Every Erev Shabbos we said we blew 6 because to tell them Shabbos is coming. So back to 48. So now we have 2 exceptions where we have 48. Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos and Erev Pesach, that's on Erev Shabbos. And the Mishnah, therefore, left out 2 exceptions. Just before we go further, there's a very nice verse from the Kotzker. The Kotzker said that the third group never got to a hafti kishmas Hashem. What pshat? He says the Kotzker. The third group, the Gemara Masechta Pesachim, calls them the Kase Atzlonim. They were lazy people. They had time to come with the third group. A group that's lazy in Avodas Hashem, Loigil Ahavti Kiyishma, they're not Oyeve Hashem. Oyeve Hashem are not lazy. In Avodas Hashem at least. Said the Gemara, Vei Masifin Amachthes. So we identified that the maximum is 48. Ask the Gemara Veloi, is that indeed the maximum? Vika Er Pesach Shchalius B'Shabbos. Let's figure out what is going to be the number of Erev Pesach came on in Shabbos. Dil Rabbi Yehuda Chamishim V'Chada, Il Rabbanon Chamishim V'Sheva. And let's understand how. According to Rabbi Yehuda, we have like this. We have 21 that are done every day. We then have, according to Rabbi Yehuda, 21 for Erev Pesach. It's 42. It's Shabbos, is another 9. 9 plus 42 equals 51. According to the Rabbanon, that we have 27 for every Korban Pesach. So we'll have 21 for every day. 27 for the Korban Pesach is 48. 9 for Korban Musaf of Shabbos, so we have 57. So when the Mishnah is looking for a day with the maximum, why does it pick Erev Shabbos Shabbatach Chag? Well, we only have 48. We have a day, Erev Pesach, that came out on Shabbos, that we could have either 51 or 57. Answers the Gemara, Kik Tani, Midi Di Eisa B'Kol Shana. Our Mishnah is only discussing examples that happen every year. Erev Pesach, Shchal Lias B'Shabbos. Erev Pesach coming out on Shabbos, the Leis B'Kol Shana. That doesn't necessarily happen every year. The Leis B'Kol Shana B'Shana, like Tani. Says the Masha, now all the kashas that we had in the previous Gemara fall away. The Gemara asked that why do we mention Rosh Hashanah and Shabbatach Shabbos? Because Rosh Hashanah doesn't happen on Shabbos every year. The Gemara asked that why do we mention Erev Pesach that happened on Erev Shabbos? It also doesn't happen every year. So the Mishnah doesn't mention examples that don't happen every year. Ask the Gemara if our Mishnah is only mentioning examples that happen every year. Ask the Gemara, Erev Shabbos Shabbatach Chag Mi'is B'Chol Shana. So who says that every year we're going to have an Erev Shabbos during Yontif? Perhaps, Zimnad Loi Mishkachas Lo, maybe we won't have Erev Shabbos on Sukkos. How will that be? Heichi Dami, Kigoyin Shekhal Yontif Arishin B'Erev Shabbos, if the first day of Sukkos is on a Friday, Kimeklinun, so then what will the next Friday be? The next Friday will be ready Shemini Atzeres. So we'll have a year where we have no Erev Shabbos B'Toch Chag. And Al Gemara is saying that the Mishnah only mentions examples of things that happen every year. Says the Gemara, Ki Maklinen Yontav Rishon Be'erev Shabbos. If the calendar comes out that Erev, that first day of Sukkos is Friday, Mitcha Dechinalei, then we manipulate the calendar. And as the Rishonim explain, that the power of the calendar was given to Beis Din, and Beis Din, even though the Edim, they used to be Mekadosh HaChodesh based on the Edom saying when they saw the new moon. But Beis Din has the right not to accept the Edis. Beis Din has the right to manipulate. My Tama, Kivin, the Ikla Yontav Arishon Shechag Lias Erev Shabbos, if the first day Sukkos is on Friday, that means Rosh Hashanah is also on Friday. And Rosh Hashanah is on Friday, when will Yom Kippurim be? Yom Kippurim Erev Mishavi, B'chad B'Shabbos. They never want Yom Kippurim to be on Shabbos, on Sunday. It'll be on Sunday. They never want Yom Kippur to be on Sunday. Why? Because if Yom Kippur is on Sunday, the Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah says we could have two problems. Number one, if somebody dies, you can't bury him on Shabbos, you can't bury him on Yom Kippur. So he'll lay without burial for 2 days, which is an unacceptable situation. Another problem, they lived in a world without refrigeration. So if Yom Kippur is on Sunday, they have to prepare the vegetables for the Matzah Yom Kippur meal on Friday. If you prepare them on Friday to eat them on Sunday night, by Sunday night they'll be wilted. You don't have a refrigerator. So if they saw that Yom Kippur is going to come out on Sunday, what they did is, Hilkach Tachinalei, they manipulate the calendar. So if Yom Kippur is never on Sunday, the first day of Sukkos is never on Friday, so there always has to be a Friday that is either Chol HaMoed or not Chol HaMoed, at least Hoshana Rabbah. Ask the Gemara, Omid Achinalei, is that true? That if Yom Kippur comes out on Sunday, we manipulate the calendar for Tanan. There's a Mishnah Masechta Shabbos and a Masechta Yuma. Chel Shabbos Kravim Yom Kippurim. If you have Shabbos and then Yom Kippur, the leftover limbs and fats of the Kabbonis that we brought on Shabbos can be brought on Yom Kippur. Vom Reb Zera, Ki Avinim Be'Rav V'Bavol, Havri Amri Hoda Tanya, Yom Kippurim Shechalias Erev Shabbos. If Yom Kippur came out on Erev Shabbos, lo you talking, they didn't blow, even though as we've been learning in our whole sugya, every Erev Shabbos they used to blow the shofar. Uber Matzah Shabbos, on Ematzah Shabbos, lo yom avdilin. Even though normally we know Matzah Shabbos, they make Havdalah. Here, if Matzah Shabbos is Yom Kippur, they didn't make Havdalah. Why? Because Yom Kippur and Shabbos are the same Kedusha. When do you have to make Havdalah? When you're going to different levels of Kedusha. Shabbos and Yom Tov is not the same level of Kedusha. But Shabbos and Yom Kippur, given it to the same level of Kedusha, we don't make Havdalah. There's a discussion in the Rishonim, what does the Gemara mean that they didn't make Havdalah? because you can't drink anyway. So some say that Yom Kippur means that you didn't make Havdalah, you didn't say Havdalah in Shemona Esrei. Others say that you don't make Havdalah, that you don't give a child to drink the Havdalah wine. Divrei Hakol hi, everybody says this. Ki Asalikas L'Hosam, when he came to Tzisrael, Ashkech L'Rabbi Yehuda B'Reid of Shimon Pazi, the Yosef Kama, Rabbi Kiva hi. That's going according to Rabbi Kiva. But what do we see? That we can have Yom Kippur and a Matzoi Shabbos. So what is the Gemara saying? That it's never possible that the first day of Sukkot should be a Friday, and therefore that year you wouldn't have Erev Shabbos, Shabbat Chag. Here the Mishnah clearly says about Yom Kippur coming out of Matzoi Shabbos. The only discussion is, what is the rule? But it seems to be that it's possible. So the Gemara Lekasha. Ha Rabbonan, ha Acherim. It's a Machloikis Rabbonan and Acherim. The Tanya. Acherim Oimrim, Ein Bein Tzeres LaTzeres. One year Shavuos to the next year Shavuos. Vein Bein Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah. One year Rosh Hashanah to the next Rosh Hashanah. El Arba Yom Bilvad. So the way the Acherim explain is as follows. The Jewish calendar, which is a lunar calendar, is 354 days. Now a week has 7 days. So if you divide 350 by 7, it's 50 weeks. Now we have 4 extra days. So according to the Acherim, the way we have to understand the Jewish calendar is that the month, the lunar month, is really 29 and a half days. But you can't have a month that's 29 and a half days. It's either 29 or 30. So they say, we have a rotation. 1 month is 20, 29, 1 month is 30, equaling with a year of 354 days. That, according to the Acherim, is never manipulated. So if that's never manipulated, you always have a year of 354 days. And if you always have a year of 354 days, you'll always know when to figure out next year's Yontif is. If this year Rosh Hashanah was Shabbos Sunday, so next year Rosh Hashanah will be 4 days later. Or the same for Shavuos. If you have a leap year, so when we have a leap year, again, Acherim, there's never any question. A leap year, we add an extra Adar. How many days are there in the extra Adar? 29. Because the other Sheni is always 29 days, according to them. 28 days equal 4 weeks. So we have another 4 weeks. Plus the 29th day, so it's always 5 days. So according to them, we never manipulate the calendar. So according to them, since we never manipulate the calendar, indeed, Yom Kippur could come out on Sunday. Whatever it is. We can't do anything about it. Acherim, Oimrim, Ein Bein Tzeres LaTzeres, Vein Bein Rosh Hashanah Rosh Hashanah, Ela Arba Yom Bilvad. V'mhoisa Shana Muberes, it's like we explained Chamisha. They're the ones that say that we never manipulate the calendar. However, the Rabbanon do hold that we manipulate the calendar. So since they hold that we manipulate the calendar, we could have a year that if we see that Yom Kippur is going to come out on Sunday, we'll change it. And that's what they indeed did. And that's why the Mishnah is correct in stating that Rosh Hashanah, that there's always an Erev Shabbos, Shabbat Chag, because Yom Kippur should never be on Sunday. So therefore, the example that the Mishnah gave of a day of 48, of Erev Shabbos Shabbat Chag, is yes, a case that could take place every year. The Rishonim just say one final word. The Rishonim say that L'chatchila, if we want to manipulate the calendar, we should try not to manipulate Elul, because we want Elul to always be a 30-day month. But if we have no choice, we realize too late that we manipulate even Elul just to have that kind of a year. I want to tell you an interesting thing. I just didn't want to